of World of Warcraft, but they called it World of Horrorcraft.
Oh, they've done it with superheroes.
I think we're about ready.
So, welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 82. And as we were just discussing... discussing, sorry.
Drank some coffee.
Apparently there is a World of Warcraft porn that Josh was informing us of.
Not that I've seen it. I just happen to know that it exists.
This is something you check out in between episodes of Kathy Griffin.
Hey, I like Kathy Griffin.
I love you go to hell. You go to hell and you die.
Oh. No, this is episode 82. I'm your host, Lawrence of America.
82? I thought we were like on 85 or 86.
Yeah. Last week was 81.
I don't know. I think we've lost count here.
Yeah, we may have. I
know I'm off because I haven't been here for 2 weeks. So.
I mean,
I'm feeling better, though.
Oh, yeah, all right, 82. My bad. I thought we were.
My bad.
Oops. I apologize.
Anyway, as I was saying, I am your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is...
G-Cubed.
Joshua.
G-Squared.
And Just Heather.
Just Heather.
Just Heather.
See that?
See, I'm not going to elaborate. I'm Just Heather. I'm perfect as I am.
That is true.
I have to go home with
I have the optimal nickname.
Yeah, it's because you have to go home with her. You have to agree.
She really is perfect the way she is. She buys me comic books. She makes me costumes. She buys my video games. And doesn't complain.
Much. Anyway.
Do you have a clone?
There are times where she's like, leave me alone and go play your video games.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, that's fine.
I will admit to that one. Go play Call of Duty or whatever you're into right now. Just let me go slow or do whatever.
So anybody know what today is?
2 days after 420.
Yep.
Yeah, yesterday was National Drug Test Day.
Yeah, pretty much. Or unwritten
today,
National
422,
Drug Test.
422, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Next thing that comes to mind is Stoner Day.
That was Tuesday. That was Marijuana Day.
No, your day off, sir. Marijuana Day, 420 was Monday.
Monday.
Tuesday was the drug.
Well, today is Earth Day. Earth Day.
But Earth Day should be every day because we live on planet Earth every day.
Now, technically, if we're planning pod, it still works,
should be Earth Day. We're planning stuff in the Earth and then...
But you know,
that is true.
But you know what? There's what's
it's also the holiday formerly known as Secretary's Day, now known as Administrative Professionals Day.
Yeah, suck it, you're a secretary.
Political correctness, you can eat it.
I was a secretary. You're a secretary.
Yeah.
There's no administrative assistant.
Yeah. You don't even write out notes anymore.
Not administrative professionals. So
whatever.
This is supposedly more inclusive than...
Yeah, well, I'm not a massage therapist. I'm a masseuse. Suck it. You know? It is.
Really? When we say
that... When we say that at all,
you said
I'm not a massage therapist. To suck it.
That is the reason why a lot of people go get massages.
Right, yeah.
Mark's on the phone.
That's a rough place to go. You know, when you have... We're not repeating. You can listen to webcast later. So many people sit there and they're like, are you a masseuse? Are you a masseuse? And technically I'm supposed to say, I'm a massage therapist. I'm a massage therapist. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's the technical differences?
Blowjob or not?
Happy ending.
That's the equivalent of it. Masseuses are known more for sexual
happy
activity
ending.
And happy endings, whereas a massage therapist is strictly
but
for
there
manipulation.
A legal definition like there is between nurse practitioner or registered nurse,
Not really. I mean, there's really no difference whatsoever as far as masseuse is just the French term for massage therapist.
Yeah, because like
a lot of masseuses are not licensed.
Yeah, right. I mean, right. Rodney Carrington, he's a comedian. His stand up live at the Majestic. You know, you can find it on YouTube. He was saying that he doesn't understand the whole point of parlor because they rub every part of you except the part you really want rubbed. You know,
that's the thing. But,
yeah.
I better hush. That's your livelihood.
I know it's my livelihood, but I'm calling a spade a spade. That's what it is.
Mm. Yes, but you help a lot of people.
Now, you see,
I'll be honest, for someone who has back problems, a good massage, you can get as much enjoyment and pleasure out of as a good happy ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm called the Sandman at both of my jobs. I'm called the Sandman.
Yeah.
Because some people, have had back injuries and are in constant pain.
No kidding. Yeah, but it's almost like the same equivalent, in the mechanic world, because if you ask one person, they'll go, I'm a mechanic, because that's what I say. You know, and if you ask someone else, they go, oh, well, I'm a technician. And, the constant thing from, the teachers that I used to have or other people that are in that profession, they will always say the same thing. If you're a technician, you're a parts changer. That's all you do. A mechanic will actually try to figure out a way to fix what's wrong.
Exactly.
And not be buying parts and just throwing parts at something. They know how to fix it.
Exactly.
They know how to,
that's the problem with a masseuse compared to a massage therapist. Massage therapists are out to fix a problem and to work on you, whereas a masseuse is out to rub on you and fix a different problem totally. You have to watch your terminology sometimes in certain fields. But
And I've never really heard anybody refer to themselves as an automotive technician who didn't go to a school.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I went to, two different technical schools, but that's the one thing, the teachers always would, the car school that I went to, they would go, yes, you're technicians. And I would constantly look at them and go, no, I'm a mechanic.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Because
people don't understand why we push for certain phrases.
Yeah.
It's the difference between professional and not professional, but when you're sitting there and saying, I'm an administrative professional, you sound more like head boss's hooker.
Yeah, because...
Sorry.
Yeah, because...
That's what it sounds like.
Well, no, administrative professional to me seems like it can cover anybody that works in an office.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Even the people that work down, in the mail room.
Whereas a secretary, or administrative assistant...
That's made for a hand, a cubicle.
Administrative assistant and administrative professional seem like two different positions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Seems like you'd have to have one to have the other. But anyway,
I don't think people want to be called assistant. Is why they're putting professional stuff.
They're technically assistants.
Hey, would they rather be called a sidekick?
Yeah, that's
they still do all the work. Sidekick.
I would rather be called a sidekick.
Yeah, if you really want to get technical, you could just call anyone who works in an office building an office monkey. An office monkey.
That's right. That's exactly it.
So,
now that we've destroyed all professionality,
what's your job title?
I don't have a job title.
You just work here. See, that's the best way to do it.
You're an employee. That's it.
I mean, officially, I don't have a job title.
But unofficially,
I call myself a manager. But I only call myself that because other people started calling me that.
Well, that's because you're the person most often seen here.
The magic guy.
It's got to be satisfying when someone says, I need to talk to the manager. I am the manager.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
There are pros and cons.
I've worked in places before where I was officially a manager in the corporate world. I used to joke when I worked for a pharmacy and I was a manager. I was a firefighter because whenever something would burst into flames, I would put it out.
Or
professional problem solver. Because that's all it was. What's wrong with you in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. All right, let me fix that.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
You're mad? Yell at me. Okay, yeah. Do you feel better? It didn't change anything. I can't change anything. You can't change anything. That's life. Now, especially because I worked at a pharmacy, so there's so many laws, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be like, people would yell, I'm like, hey, that's the law. I'm sorry. Apologize that you're not happy.
Yeah.
You know, and then move on. And a lot of times people just want to yell, and it makes them feel better to yell. Now, really, people need to vent every once in a while, and I understand. And that was half of my job, was just to get yelled at by customers.
Yeah, to be a therapist.
I've had that job. I've had that job before.
Yeah, the sad part is I had to take an anger management class one time online.
No, seriously.
Really? But it was a BS anger management class, because at one point in the web series, it said, venting or ranting is not an appropriate form of anger management, nor does it work. And I'm like, you fucking liar. I feel so much better when I vent or rant. Because then I'm not angry anymore.
Yeah, no, venting totally works.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it means you don't take it home.
Exactly. They're like, excessive cussing and venting and ranting does not help you curb your anger.
It is statistically proven that people who cuss are the most honest people you meet.
Exactly. Why do you think I'm so brutally honest?
Yeah, I don't know if that has anything to do with cursing or anything. But you can also say it's statistically proven that, all serial killers drink water.
Which they probably do. No,
that is a true fact. I think I saw that on the Discovery Channel. And,
100% of drownings happen near water, too.
Not all.
Water!
Not all. You could drown. You could drown without water.
That's true. You could fall in a vat of pineapple juice,
which is still water based.
Water,
which is still water based.
You know, there are such a thing as secondary drownings, though, and you're actually not in water at the time.
Well, I didn't say in water. Yeah. Near water.
What's the weirdest way for a secondary drowning? Like drowning in a vat of ketchup.
Oh, God.
That would suck.
If somebody slits your throat, you technically die of drowning.
Yeah, because you're choking on your own blood. Yeah,
that's true.
Can we move on to a more lighthearted subject, comics or movies?
Actually, I was wanting to talk about a more lighthearted subject, the end of the world.
Oh, my God.
Wait, how do we go from throat-slitting murder and say, let's move on to a lighter subject to the end of the world?
We were talking about that. We were talking about drowning. And that was the first way, when you said secondary drowning, that was the first type of non-water drowning that came to mind.
What the hell?
So we're going to drown in pools of fire now.
I have a point, a funny point, believe it or not.
All right.
So John Oliver made the video that Ted Turner had made
for
CNN to play at the end of the world.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it was... This just basically this marching band playing some slow somber music.
Of the U.S. military basically playing taps.
It wasn't taps, but it was basically taps. Wasn't taps, but it was basically taps.
It wasn't the song.
He's not saying it's aliens. He's not saying it's taps.
But it's taps.
Yeah.
But it was not taps. Yeah. It was not nowhere near taps.
Yeah.
No.
But
wrong answer.
Oh, whatever. I move on.
But anyway,
continue.
But John Oliver made his own End of the World video, and it had Martin Sheen in it. And it's pretty funny. Go find it on YouTube. It's worth watching, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth watching.
No, that's charming.
But speaking of videos, I was watching Jon Stewart, Daily Show last night, and apparently there was a video of a cop who everyone thought was about to shoot an unarmed person, because the person was just running towards them at high speed, and the cop kept backing up going, I don't want to shoot you, and then the guy just starts yelling, kill me, and then cop falls down on his back, gets back up, and this and that, never shot the person running at him.
Well,
but here's the thing, though, the person who was running at him was white.
Oh my gosh. you want a dead by cop.
There was a guy who wanted.
But I mean, he was wearing. But he was wearing a chest camera. I just think it's, you know, because of everything that's going on, you know, with cops shooting, you know, innocent people.
They're trying to put things out there.
Yeah. You know that. You know this one guy because he's white ran at the cop at full speed. Even after the cop had his gun drawn and just starts yelling at him, like trying to get him to stop, to slow down and just, you know, take a breath or whatever, but never opened fire on him.
Well, that brings the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think hell just froze over because of
no,
that.
No, I'm just talking about, we're talking about the end of the world.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm hearing a semi, you know, attuned version of Taps.
It actually is not even. It's the song that was supposedly played when the Titanic went down.
Yeah, that song. Okay, I couldn't remember what the little four-piece orchestra. Yeah, I couldn't remember what the name of it was.
It was not a bugle reveille playing.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I never said it was. I just said
you
it
said
was.
It was Taps.
I said it was.
Which is a bugle reveille.
I know.
It is the Titanic song as it's going down.
But it's
down.
Like Taps-esque. Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah. So, all right. But all right. So
they could have just played "My Heart Will Go On,"
and that was the funny thing. That was what John Oliver's for. That wasn't playing there in Titanic, and then he cut to Celine Dion.
Yeah, it was like this is the song that was playing when the Titanic went down.
And you know, I really don't want that to be the last thing.
No, I don't really know. You know what I'd really like to hear is the closing theme to A Looney Tunes. That's what I'd really like to hear at the end of the world.
Yes, because that would be so
perfect. That's all, folks.
That would be hilarious.
Like if every news,
just that come out of the sky.
Yeah,
that would be hilarious.
But like if every news outlet came on when the end of the world was happening and the government was falling and everything was just demolishing itself, and then the Looney Tunes ending just comes on. It's like, wow, that's just so appropriate for the moment.
The Earth has to pause so we can just be like, no.
No, but you know, it would be really great for the end of the world. If, like, every government leader, like, as soon as the world was fixing to end, just go, you know what, screw it. Everyone just light a joint, get high, let's just go out smoking.
Let's go out.
It's like, if you got it,
there's other ways I'd rather go out.
Everybody be fine in someone else's house. Hey, you got one?
Line up Star Wars
perfectly.
Blaze one up and have sex. How's that?
Oh, my gosh.
That would work.
Yeah.
That would work. That's it.
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't think that enhances sexual intercourse.
No, but it makes it more fun.
Most studies,
it depends on the person.
It might actually depend on the person.
To your libido to be stoned.
It's mellow. Mm-hmm. It mellows you.
Yes, it is actually
depressant. It really depends on the strain that you get. Because some strains I just, you know, don't really want to have sex. Other strains that I've smoked have made me hornier than a 10-peckered owl. So, there are massive differences between strains.
Good Lord, that poor owl.
Heather's dying.
I don't want to see that swooping down.
Everyone just went quiet.
We have all gone to pot today.
Literally,
and keeps trying to throw it back to pot.
Oh my god!
So go ahead. Seems like you brought up pot at every possible opportunity,
and I'm wearing green.
Okay, all right. Here's something. Since we're just discussing pot on some level, there is a new bill being passed to try and make cannabis oil legal in all 50 states.
For medical uses, they're trying to get it
to Congress.
Yes.
You know,
it's not being voted on or officially submitted yet. It'll be stopped way before Congress.
There are many, many medical things that it's good for, seizures.
I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I honestly think everything should be illegal for medical purposes. I mean, if a doctor says, "Look, you know, you're dying. You know, heroin's the only thing that's going to ease your pain." More power to them.
You're dying. Right. What does it matter?
Right.
They should let you do anything that's not going to harm someone else.
You have a week to live.
Yeah, as long as you're at the house and you're not harming other people, who cares?
From a logical point of view, clearly the war on drugs doesn't work.
No. It hasn't worked for over 70 years.
Yeah.
Or 50 years, whatever it is.
The war on drugs has only been going on since the 80s.
Well, technically since 1937 when Harry J. Anslinger was the first drug czar.
No.
Started marijuana legislation to
marijuana
outlaw
prohibition
it.
Has been going on since 1937.
The war on drugs is a motion that was started by Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, I know.
In the 80s.
Say no to drugs!
Actually, the war on drugs really started with Nixon, but it became popular with the war on drugs from Nancy Reagan, yeah.
Yeah.
There was something about they were going against...
She did the whole say no to drugs thing.
They were wanting to get something else out there.
Yeah.
It's President Reagan. He'll be done
the
in a
minute. War on drugs. America declared war on drugs in the Reagan administration.
That is true. That was
before
the official statement.
Before that,
it was Nixon.
Before that, America and drugs
did not declare war on drugs.
Yeah, they were best friends for that.
No, I'm saying Reagan literally declared war on drugs.
I have to agree.
The start of the war on drugs started.
Just
like George W. declared war on terror.
Well, it's when the DEA's budget increase happened. That's when it happened.
Yeah.
What did drugs ever do to him?
Basically,
drugs started putting bombs on children. In reality, the drug war started in 37
with marijuana being outlawed.
That wasn't about drugs.
I know all that history. We can sit here and discuss this all day. I know what that history is.
And then Nixon, I wasn't trying to get, I had even a reason for bringing up the world. I know you did.
But you keep wanting to talk about pods. So go. So go study some more.
Hey.
All right.
Is there a comic book?
The whole reason I was going to say the end of the world, speaking of end of the world, what is everybody's opinion on the end of all these comics and the various rebootings coming through? The whole line of Convergence is coming through. It's like in its second or third week.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Wars.
Yeah, I was looking at
Secret Wars getting ready to start.
The half covers are really awesome side by side with each other.
It's a love or hate thing. Everybody either loves it or hates it.
New 52 well, it is coming
on,
to an end.
It depends on whether you like the New 52 or not.
Well, I was talking about the Convergence covers, the alternate covers.
The half and halves are just...
Yeah, some people like hate them, some people love them.
I actually like them.
Fades into classic stuff.
Yeah.
I personally don't care for them, but that's just me.
Well, it's almost like he was saying fade, it's almost like it's fading away.
Right, right. I get what it's doing. Now, I just don't like the covers from a graphic design point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something that's appealing
to
me.
Yeah, I mean
some of the color choices for the fade are weird. Like yellow for it. If you're gonna do a fade thing, do a darker color.
I almost wish the fade was horizontal and like going up. And so when the covers were side by side, it would be connected.
Yeah, you'd have the faces.
That makes sense.
I get what you're saying. It does. You'd almost have to display them like up and down for it to work.
Right, right. With it going vertically, it bugs me because it breaks
everything.
I think one of the reasons why they may have done those conversions covers like that is so you could stack them and overlap them. You know. If you're putting them on a shelf, if you're lining them up on a shelf like that, if they're half and half overlapped 50% vertically like those are, then it gives you more room to put more comics
on the shelf. But most comic book shops don't overlap them like that, where you only see that much of the comic.
I know. I'm just saying though that you know
it is an interesting thing,
but it does work. It does work the way you're saying it.
Yeah, because you could probably fit double the amount of comics on that one shelf.
Right.
Well, you could, but we personally have found that comics sell better when you don't overlap them. That's why we used to.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's why we stopped.
Yeah,
because we used to have them overlap to fit more.
Yeah, but yellow. I mean, yellow. Why would you pick yellow? Why wouldn't you just?
Well, they've also did. Well, it's not. This is why they did it. They did cyan and magenta the first week.
Why didn't they just do straight black?
I mean, right. That'll be next week.
Well, I mean, if just overall, why?
That's one. So far, they've done CMY. The next one is K. Those are the four print colors.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, the reason why I'm saying why didn't they just do straight black or straight white is because it would.
I think they're going for the print color thing, the classic.
Well, no, I mean, the reason why I'm saying black or white is because the imagery of it would be saying, this is dying, or we're fixing to bring something back, you know, fresh, new, and alive.
Yeah, I would choose white, because white is like a new palette.
And plus, it would keep your printing costs down from having to do a color like yellow.
Yeah,
because you know,
I don't think they're worried about that.
It's cheaper to do it as black or white.
Well, the fact of the matter is, the printing of it now.
I know.
When you're dealing with that scale, it doesn't make that much of a difference.
I know. I'm just saying as just an overall concept thought.
Because the other thing, going with the CMYK colors, they don't have to do a spot color. If they went with an actual like a true red or a certain like that, they'd have to do a spot color to get that solid feel. And that would add a fifth color printing. But with the CMYK, it would be the same if they went with a solid white, or they're already having a print layer for that color. Mm-hmm. So it could still be a four-color print process, not a five-color print process.
That's true.
But you're all right, the white would use less ink. And I actually think it would look better for the fadeaway.
Right, exactly. I completely agree with that. I mean, when you have your fadeaways, you really don't think of, you know, bright colors as a fadeaway. White is hope, black solidarity, or death, or
rebirth.
You know, there's definitely a color.
And plus, not to mention the fact that if you do it as white or black, but more mainly white. You know, if you're doing a fade, you can do like minor gradual, you know, offset colors into that fade to where it almost looks like a five-tone fade off.
Right.
You know, almost like a car paint job.
That would be cool.
Instead of what it is like that, where it's almost just a straight line.
What I like about them is on the side where you can see the face, it's an older style look.
Well, I can tell you exactly what they did. They took an old comic image, opened it up in Photoshop, blew it up way too big, and did a 50% gradient.
Yeah. Well, you see, here's the issue I have, from this far away.
It took them all of 30 seconds.
Yeah, but the reason why I'm saying
took them that long to come up with convergence.
Well, the reason why I'm saying all this is because from this far away, looking at them on the shelf, all right, not the pure yellow fade out, but the other half of all those comics, I could see like a majority of yellow in almost every single one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just an overabundance of yellow, and it's just like, you know, it's just too.
Well,
it's too much for the eye.
All right. Here's what, but with them going with the four print colors, a lot of the older comics weren't printed as high resolution as the newer ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Right. And I think white would go good. Like I said, it feels like it's a new page to put in the new stuff that they're coming out with.
Yeah, and plus, you know, if you know any of the colors on the cover were like a dark blue or dark green, and the other half was white,
it would stand out. I think that's why they're doing that is they don't want it to stand out.
And certain colors are not going.
It's like they're really fading it out completely.
Like the Green Lantern?
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to fade it out.
I pulled a couple of the copies, and I want to know why in heaven's name Wonder Woman looks like she's about to give a BJ.
Not to mention the fact that she looks like she has measles.
She does. They all look like they have measles.
Flash.
That's Flash, isn't it?
No, Flash is the one all the way to the left.
It looks like it's cross-stitch.
Yeah, it kind of
Wonder Woman looks cross-stitch. She does. The rest of it looks okay, but it looks like they just splashed color on.
Yeah.
But like I said, I like the way they're doing that with they're fading it away because it's going away.
Yeah. But like I said, it's just entirely too much yellow because if you look from back behind all the red cross stitching in their face, it's yellow. It's too much yellow.
Those are just old Kirby dots. Yeah. That's just the way comics old printing was back then.
I know, but I mean.
Yeah, it's
too much yellow.
It's like a really bad Smurf.
You're taking something that's not supposed. They were blown up so big that image should only be like an inch.
Right.
You
know,
That's why you're seeing all that extraneous detail.
Yeah, but they could.
They look like normal people for the most part. Yeah. But when you're close up, you're just like.
But they could have taken stills from the modern books and put them on the front cover instead of the old stills where they, you know, where they had that red dotting. You know, they could have taken modern ones where they don't have that, and then it would actually look more crisp and clean.
Yeah, but you know, they don't want it to look crisp and clean. They don't want it to look
well. That's just my opinion. Okay, that's just my opinion, but that's, you know, that's what I think. So,
but here's the thing: it's DC. Do they really care what we think about?
Yeah,
I guess not. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, graphically speaking, I don't, I don't care for them, and all those are valid points or whatever, but yeah, they're trying to go from the old stuff fading away or fading in, you know, so has anybody been reading any of it other than bitching about the covers?
What, the Convergence?
I've been reading about it. We just bought the comics for them today. We're going to start reading them.
Bringing about a lot of classic teams. Yeah. Anybody excited about any kind of certain teams?
What, DC or Marvel?
With the Convergence,
they're bringing back a lot of, you know, classic lineups, classic teams. You know, old, you know, Golden and Silver Age characters.
Ones I don't even know about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still reading New 52. You know, GL, New Guardians, and Red Lanterns, and I picked up Harley Quinn. And, you know, and I'm still reading The Flash, so I still have a lot to, you know,
That's one problem I have is there are some things that were bad with the New 52, but there's some things that were really good that you're going to get rid of with all
they're
of
this. They're not going to necessarily get rid of all that stuff. They're going to end up basically trying to take whatever they deem as the most popular, best versions of characters and end up into the new.
As long as they get rid of Grayson. I'm okay.
Yeah, but I was also telling Larry, you know, like a week, what was it, like a week or two ago, that if they were, you know, if they were going to make a new 52 series, like one that I would actually like seeing is, you know, the one for the Blue Lanterns,
yeah,
or you know, Star Sapphires, you know, the what are the Violet or was it
the Green Lantern animated series is heading that way?
Yeah, are the Starfire? Yeah, the Star Sapphires are the Violet Lantern Corps. Yeah, yeah. Because I keep wanting to say pink, and it's like, no, it's not pink. And then, you know, like, maybe one for Joker's daughter. I mean, because I know she has, there's that number one of hers up on the rack, but I don't know if they ever made any more for her.
You know, yeah, they did the enemy cover one, and I think, yeah, she's just appeared in a few books, but... Yeah,
but I'd really like for her to have her own standalone series, because there's so much that you can do with her
character. Yeah, but Harley having her own series would be more popular, and it would be almost as if it would be overshadowing that series. I mean, I don't think many people would really get it, because they would be buying Harley over that.
Well, they could almost, I mean, I guess you could probably argue this, and we probably will, but... Like, if they got one other female character, you know, where Harley Quinn, Joker's daughter, and then one other character teamed up, then they could have a
team up with Suicide Squad.
I know. Well, what I'm saying is have a team up threesome, you know, to fight the girls from Birds of Prey. You know, they could have, you know, they could have a special edition, you know, Birds of Prey edition, you know, where it's 3-on-3.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Could be interesting.
That is true.
I can see that.
I would like to see like three young villainous people together would be really neat.
Yeah, I mean like one that's kind of an old school character, but two that are like just fresh and clean. You know, but you know the
new school and old school
together. Yeah, new school and old school together, and then you know had the three girls from Birds of Prey, and you know just
who would be the old school?
Well, Harley Quinn, because she's been around longer than, you know, Joker's daughter.
She's been around that long.
I'm just saying.
She's only been in the comics a couple of years.
I know, I'm just saying. Yeah.
But who's the other one? If you got a third
female character to do that. What about Huntress?
Huntress would be interesting.
Huntress would work.
Yeah, but sometimes she's kind of like Harley. Sometimes she's good. So,
It really depends on the day of the week. But they could play off of that, too.
Yeah.
There could be times when they, you know, have to team up and fix, a larger problem, or they could, battle each other. It's really, there are times when villains and heroes gather together for one cause, and then they split back apart.
But, yeah.
You know, that would be an interesting concept.
Yeah, yeah, because, bringing them together would be like, the three villains and then Birds of Prey coming together to solve a problem that's almost like, the Battle of New York from the Marvel Universe. And then, after it's done, it's like, all right. It's like, we're only teaming up for this one thing. And once we're done, we're going to go back to trying to kill each other.
Exactly.
Be ready. As soon as it's over, I'm going to stab you.
Yeah. Or hit you, with a mallet, depending on which variation of Harley Quinn you're dealing with.
Okay, this was fun. Stab, stab.
It's like... Shiv.
Yeah, exactly. Prison rules. I would read a comic book like that. Yeah. Honestly,
it would be interesting.
I would love to see that. And I know there are probably lots of other women who would too, because, there's lots of men team ups and things that they do.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a woman team up. I really would.
And plus, if they're trying...
a lot of dudes buying it just because there's chicks on the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but also, if you're trying to get more female readers like DC's trying to do, I think, then it would be a perfect segue into trying to get more female readership.
Everybody likes the bad guy.
For the records, there are female team-up books currently on the market.
I know. I'm just saying that, as a nice, fresh, new...
It's Huntress and Power Girl. It's not a popular seller, but...
Yeah. I'm just saying as a fresh, new series. All the X-Men,
pretty much,
I definitely
now
a
female team-up book at the moment.
I like Harley a lot. So.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm more interested in the villain perspective of it.
Yeah.
Everybody likes the bad guy.
Harley Quinn is a big name in female comic
book readers.
Harley Quinn is a big name.
Yeah, and plus
I think it could be interesting.
And plus it would be interesting to see the dynamic between Joker's daughter and Harley. It'd be interesting to
see
the dynamic.
Harley Quinn has a bigger pull in non-comic readers than she does in comic readers.
Yeah.
By far.
She could pull the non-comic over to the comic side.
But I think one of the reasons...
I'd honestly believe that most of the Harley Quinn comics that we sell don't actually get read.
They don't.
Well, I think one of the reasons
it's
why
either by dudes that want to look at the cover or women
there are a lot who collect it just because it says Harley.
Yeah.
And they come in here, they'll buy anything Harley, but they don't.
I think one of the reasons why she's so more popular with non-readers than readers is simply because she's like a DC pinup girl. She has that look to her.
Well, she also started in a non-comic.
Yeah.
So, basically people of our age, she started with us.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, she started at basically in a after school cartoon.
Yeah, right
now
I remember that.
I used to love that show. Love that show.
I love that shit.
That's another issue. You see a lot of business that we get. Especially with the movies and stuff. People who are being, great big comic fans, but don't actually read comics.
They watch the movies or the
shows. Or the shows.
So.
Yeah, once
yes, but we still love
Squad
you.
Comes out, there'll be a whole new rash of fans of the villains and the people that they're really wanting to enjoy, especially with Harley Quinn. I mean, the girl they've picked to play Harley Quinn.
I've already seen Joker pictures.
She's
ready
for
Harley pictures. I've seen Joker pictures from the set. I'm ready to see
Jared
Harley
Leto.
Pictures.
Yeah,
yeah, they've tweeted out pictures of Jared Leto in the Joker partial makeup and his hair green.
Oh, they're making another Batman movie?
No, Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah, the Suicide Squad.
He's going to be in that one.
I think that'll be a lot of fun.
I'm definitely interested to see how
Jared Leto does with that character as an actor, because he's proven himself as a pretty good character actor so far.
Yeah.
That's a little out of where he other characters, but so.
Well, the thing is,
I think this could be really a good sign, if he does well in this role, be a good thing for him.
I still wish that Heath Ledger was still alive, though,
because he is the quintessential Joker.
Comparisons
is going to be the problem he's going to have.
Yeah.
Well, the problem that they've had is they have passed on this thing. It's called the curse of the Joker.
Yeah, because it started with Jack Nicholson, almost.
Well, no, it went further back to other areas, but
yeah, I know.
They warn each other about the curse of the Joker. It's something about that part that negativity follows it.
Yeah.
Because you have to go in such a dark place to play it.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Hamill, he knows better than anyone from doing that voiceover for so long.
Yeah.
He was so good, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was.
That's all I can think of.
Well, now, like, Jack Nicholson was still Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, he was more more of a campy Joker than a dark grit Joker.
You know, whereas Heath Ledger definitely
took it to a different, darker level.
Different style of Joker.
I like different styles of Joker. I've seen so many different styles of Joker that you can't say, well, this person's Joker is better than this person, because they're all playing a different style of him.
Yeah, I mean, and I remember as a kid watching the old Adam West.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever that guy was, because he was like a cartoon hammed up version of Joker. Yeah,
I forget his name.
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero.
Yeah, Cesar Romero.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
As long as the writing and the story is good. But yeah, definitely there's going to be trouble following that, because so many people were so loved. And that happens a lot with movies where the actor dies immediately after.
Yeah.
Then it's like nobody can say anything bad.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
I couldn't say anything bad about his performance in that movie anyways.
I'm not saying it was an
moment.
Now, I'm not trying to say anything about it.
I got you.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for anyone to follow him, you know, playing that Joker character.
Yeah. You look at movies like The Crow. Same situation. Yeah. I like the movie, but it's way overhyped. Like I said, I like Heath Ledger's Joker, but people talk about it like it's the second coming. It's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't care for the Fast and the Furious movies I just don't like that genre of movie.
Me neither.
I watched
but you guys know that I do because I'm the resident
motorcycle
nerd.
I like the first one. I liked Gone in 60 Seconds.
Are you talking the original H.B. Halicki version or the Nicolas Cage version?
Nicolas Cage version. I never went back and watched the old 60s.
Let's go. I love Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicolas
Cage, who can't act, apparently, because he's always the exact same character, but that's another story.
Could you
imagine him as Superman?
No.
They tried to make it.
There's even a documentary about him trying to be Superman. Yeah.
It was supposed to be more on the alien side than the...
Well, we're getting back to Gone in 60 Seconds. The H.B. Halicki original version, it's still just as good. It's like quite a bit different, but you know what?
I'm not enough of a fan of the genre to go back. It was like, it's okay. You know, I enjoyed it. Good popcorn movie.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'm not upset I saw it.
Well, the Nicolas Cage version, they had that snake in the two-door Hummer. In the original H.B. Halicki version, they didn't
have Hummers.
No, not that. They were trying to steal a car that this woman had left her keys in because she was running into a building, the car next to it, something like that. But anyways, they tried to boost a car, and there was a tiger in the back seat. Oh, they looked back, they're like, "What?" And they jumped out of the car.
That's probably what Saints Row was doing, because there was a mission where you had to escort a tiger.
Yeah, they might have taken it from that. I don't know, but yeah. And then like later on in the movie, where they're going through the big car chase. All right, in the movie, Eleanor is a Mustang Mach 1, not a Shelby GT500. Mm-hmm. And at one point in that movie, he actually wraps that car around a light pole. It dents the door in severely. But the only reason why he was able to keep driving that car is because they did it old school. They reinforced the hell out of the car and roll caged
it. I hate when they destroy beautiful cars for movies.
I know, but...
Hey,
I mean, hell,
all replicas.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, besides, do you have any idea how many challengers they went through doing Dukes of Hazzard?
Many.
I'm not talking the movie. I'm talking the show.
The show.
Seven per episode.
Seven per episode.
Oh my god.
They kept dodging business back then.
The biggest problem that they had is every time they would jump the creeks or the hills,
it would bottom out the suspension. And almost and bend the frame.
That's horrible.
Like or it would blow all the tires and break the axles.
Yeah. They shattered so many parts and so many cars doing that show. It was insane.
We were talking about the DeLorean getting hit by a train the other day.
Yeah, it seems hard to imagine. You know, I'm not saying they didn't, but it seems hard to imagine from the episodes I've seen them going through seven. Because so many of it just looks like rehash.
The exact same, yeah. You know? It's like,
oh, I'm pretty sure they reused a lot of that.
We're going to use last week's footage for this week.
Yeah.
I mean,
the jump's always the same.
Yeah, because you know, there's only so many bridges in Hazard County.
Right, exactly. And having been through Hazard County, I can attest to that. There's maybe four bridges in Hazard County.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to think for the time that they did that show, using that many cars per episode, that was practically unheard of in any TV show. You know, where you had to deal with car crashes or car chases.
And that was also back when cars were made of metal.
Yeah, heavy-duty metal.
One thing, like when they did the movie, they did one little thing that I thought was hilarious. Showed them going to, like, Atlanta or something in the Dukes of Hazzard Mobile, whatever it's
called. General Lee.
And, like, as they're going through traffic, they're stopped in a traffic jam. All these people are, like, cussing at them for the rebel flag.
Yeah, for the rebel flag on the roof.
And they're what happened to that thing.
Especially going through downtown Atlanta. It's like, what do you expect?
Exactly.
They're all like, what are they talking about? Maybe they don't like orange.
I did have to give them credit for putting the modern-day spin on it. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, and plus having Kevin Heffernan from the Broken Lizard crew, having him in that movie and wearing an armadillo shell hat,
that was funny.
Which the Broken Lizard crew has done an Indiegogo thing, I believe. Indiegogo or GoFundMe or Kickstarter, one of those.
Yeah, one of those things.
For Super Troopers 2, and it got well beyond...
Is it Kickstarter?
Yeah. Funded. I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
because Super Troopers was just awesome.
Yeah, okay. I really wondered, there was one of the perks on there that is for $25,000, they would be your bridesmaids.
What?
That is awesome.
Oh, man.
And I wonder if anybody...
I hope somebody did it. That would be so awesome.
I would
have
them in full-on pink regalia.
Well, you know...
You know
there is probably some dispensary owner in Colorado that was fixing to get married that donated to that. And it was like, yes, I want them to be my bridesmaids.
Absolutely.
That would have been awesome.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
And Rabbit, you can be my maid of honor.
Just Muffin Rabbit costume.
Yeah.
Well, talking to dispensaries, Willie Nelson.
Oh yeah, opened his own dispensary and made his own strain. Yeah,
it's not
he's trying
a dispensary.
To.
Yeah, he's releasing a series of Willie's Reserved marijuana.
He's made his own strain.
No,
but there's a lot of
But you have to know
that
was coming.
It's legal in Colorado and Washington. Yeah, there's a lot of celebrities. Yeah.
Well, you know he's got a new song coming out too. It's called "We've All Gone to Pot." I'm serious. That's what it's called. It's "We've All Gone to Pot." They have it on YouTube right now, and it's
less stoner related news, I guess. Really is coming to town in September. There's some new festival in Franklin, right? Supposedly. Willie Nelson and Weezer
and Willie Nelson
going to be
supposed to be there.
But you can find out more information on the Buzz's website. That seems like it might be.
I saw that on news this morning.
I'd go just to see Willie for sure. Although I like Sheryl Crow too. So
I've seen Willie in concert before.
Happy, good show.
How stoned was he?
probably. You know, it's one of those things. I don't think you could tell if he was high or not.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, he's probably like Jim Brewer. You know, he just looks high all the time, but he might not be.
That is true.
One of my favorite songs is something him and... I think the guy who does the country song Kiss This or...
Aaron? No. Keith.
Don't you kiss?
Keith Urban? Or no, not Keith Urban. Toby Keith.
Yeah. Only Toby Keith did this song called I'll Never Smoke Weed with Willie.
Oh, I love that song.
It's hilarious.
I love that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
That song is awesome.
Willie sings on the song, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Willie, you know, we were talking about Dukes of Hazzard and Willie Nelson. He was a great Uncle Jesse.
Yeah, he was. Especially when he came out of, like, you know, the meat smokehouse, quote unquote. And he's just sitting there grinning from ear to ear. And Linda Carter is like, what are you doing in there?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, like, the governor comes out with him. It was hilarious.
Smoking some meat.
Yeah. And she just goes, mm-hmm.
Exactly. He was great in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
See, there's another meaning to that, too.
Yeah.
Double entendre and two.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but, I almost forgot. Tomorrow at the Gallatin Public Library, they're doing the board games, you know, tabletop day again.
Excellent, you know, excellent. So for that's going to be like a monthly thing?
Yeah, they're starting excellent. To do it on a monthly thing, and they're trying to do it on Thursdays because they know I'm here every Wednesday with you guys and, you know, doing D&D.
Cool.
You know, so.
Very cool.
You know, they try to accommodate my schedule along with it.
Well, that's good. Good. I'm glad to see that that's going to take off because, you know, board games are definitely a good thing to get young people into. You know, they're just as fun as video games, and they inquire they
and sometimes
require
more so.
Some social skills.
Yeah,
yes.
Where right. Video games do not.
Yeah,
yeah, you're not yelling at the microphone. Yeah, board the TV.
Yeah, board games where you play with other people face to face make you follow Wheaton's Law. You know, don't be a dick.
That's right. Don't be a dick.
Doesn't work at our house.
No, it turns us into
babies. I really actually don't think that Monopoly. That's true. Because now we have a saying here that if you've never lost a friend over a board game, you're not playing hard enough.
Exactly.
very true.
Divorce over a board game, there's a bigger issue. We have outlawed Monopoly in our house. It's just a no-go.
We can play Texas Hold'em,
no
problem.
We own 8 different versions of Monopoly. None of us will touch it.
Yeah, we can play cards. Cards, no problem. You see, board games don't work.
Yeah, you see, if you've never run the risk of scalping someone for, you know, getting into arguments over money in Monopoly, who won a country in risk, or who got the longest train route and ticket to ride, then you haven't played hard enough.
Who cheated and got more people on Risk?
Oh my gosh, Risk is all around at our house too now. I mean, just, we have a friend of ours who's a Risk aficionado, he claims.
He loves
cheats
Risk.
Cheats within an inch of his life and will not admit to
and
anything.
Gets mad when he loses?
Yeah.
And gets mad when you call him out on breaking rules.
Here's the thing, I don't like Risk, but I know how to play the game.
Yeah.
So I don't play for me to win. I play to hook somebody else up to beat our friend that comes over.
Well, you see, here's the thing, though. Like, I was playing, you know, I used to play spades a lot when I was younger. And unfortunately, like, one guy that I played with for a little while, he would palm cards time.
When you played a lot of spades, was it in a facility?
No. Anyway, so
was there somebody eating the checkers next to you?
No,
I wasn't going there. I was, you know, a lot of time to work out. You know,
no,
maybe dominoes on the other steel table.
No, we would just play spades, and unfortunately, this one guy would always be trying to palm spade cards. You know, or
I actually like spades.
You know, I mean, I like spades too, but like almost it seemed like almost. Every other hand, when we would be playing, you know, I'd have to keep constantly on the lookout of knowing like what had been played, you know, because he would do it just
so basically
all the
you're
time.
Counting cards.
Well, yeah, it's easy to count cards in spades if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, there's only 52 of them.
Yeah, I mean, if you know what you have and your partner tells you what he thinks he has, it's pretty safe to assume like who has what.
Now, I mean, yeah, counting cards is not technically cheating. I don't think it really is cheating.
No,
whatsoever.
It's not. Because you're using
it's frowned upon by casinos.
Yeah, because you're using it's just a mathematical construct and you're using your brain to figure it out.
It's not like you're palming cards.
Yeah, palming cards is actually cheating, sitting there and doing math in your head to figure out who has what or what's been played. That's just
that's
being
just strategic.
Yeah, that's just strategy.
Strategery.
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 All right.
But yeah, that would be an interesting thing to do is, you know, get everybody together. Yeah, just have them sit down, play games. You know, we try to do family game nights. We really do.
They don't
we
work
enjoy
out.
Them.
Well, of course,
enjoy
you know,
some
we do
them.
Game days here at the store and everything.
Yeah.
And all that.
I tried my best to get him to play D&D. I was like, let's try it. And he's like, no, I'm not going that far.
I just don't think I could do it. There's just too much to know.
But you're no, it's
if you're running a game, then yeah, there's some barrier to entry, but not really for just playing in. You know, I think you know, and the way and fifth edition is so simple, you know, it's it involves there can be plenty of strategy, but I think pretty much anybody can pick up and run one.
So it's almost like a D&D idiot's guide.
No, I wouldn't
for
even
anybody
call it that.
No, for like how they used to have those.
Streamlined the mechanics of the rules.
Made it easier.
Yeah. You know, the DM needs to read the book, but the players could just go through and, I mean, they can pretty much go, okay, these are what these stats mean. You know, and you pretty much everything's straightforward. You know, the DM goes, oh, hey, you're going to need to do a strength test, whatever, blah, 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 you know. The amount of homework the player has to do is very minimal, if any. You know, it used to be a thing where you'd spend 2 hours creating a character. Mm-hmm. You can.
I had friends that were really deep
you know,
into D&D.
Yeah, you can create a character in 5-10 minutes. Now, admittedly, you could spend 2 hours creating it, going into all kinds of detail and everything if you want it, but it's not necessary to. Play a good character, you know, to go into that huge, elaborate amount of backstory and detail, you know. That can be done as you go, you know.
Yeah.
But that's, if you're a creative person, you know, it's a good outlet for that.
I crack up watching the Big Bang Theories when they pull out the Dungeons and Dragons and they have Wolowitz doing the stories and everything.
Doing the voices and stuff.
Yeah, the Christmas episode was interesting. Yeah,
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, where they were going through the dungeon to try and rescue Santa Claus or something.
I didn't see that one.
I think Leonard was being the DM.
Yeah. And Sheldon was constantly complaining. It's like, you're not being, you know, detailed enough or some bullshit.
Yeah.
No, because Sheldon's Sheldon. He'll complain about, you know, the sun not being bright enough or being too bright.
Exactly. I enjoy watching people play. I just... I'm not, you know, gifted enough to get into that type of, you know, play.
If you got the right group of people, it's definitely a wonderful game, you know.
Great experience.
You
know, yeah. See, I used to play Magic back when it first, you know, really came in the 90s. You know, I was playing with friends, and I did decently well, but I didn't play it enough to really keep it going and keep up with it. But
I didn't have time in the 90s to do it. I didn't have time in the 90s to play games like that.
I spent too much money on it.
That's kind of like us in HeroClix.
Yeah, I stopped.
We probably bought $2,000 worth of HeroClix in the time span of, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I kept spending so much money on Magic at one point. I finally got tired of it because new sets would constantly come out and I couldn't keep up with it. I was like, that's it, I quit.
Yeah.
You know, then I just started selling all my rares and uncommons off, you know, as... You know, for
but
as much money as
it
I could.
You play it. You really did.
Well, you know, and to be honest, I, at my height, really, you know, just from a sheer player, would spend. You know, I've always been a very budget-minded person, or whatever. I had a set limit to what I'd spend on Magic. You know, it'd be $15 to $30 a week. You know, and then. Once a quarter when a set come out, I'd buy a box. Mm-hmm. I'd probably spend an additional $150. So you think, you know, even at the most, $30 a week, you know, and sure, you add that up, Now you're gonna think $600 plus $30 a week. Right. You know?
Yeah.
It's gonna seem like a lot, and really it is. Yeah. When you look at that lump sum.
Yeah, but
paying $30 for a night of entertainment, you know, to go out and play magic
is normal.
Yeah, I mean, really, and that's when I'd buy some to collect. So really, the only, and if I didn't have the extra money, I wouldn't buy the boxes, you know, quarterly, and it would just be the, all right, I'd cut down to $15 a week, you know. And really, you know, looking at it that way, going to Friday Night Magic, spending $15 to draft and play for 4 hours,
right.
You're not going to get that deal when you go to a movie or whatever, you know. And it was just, you got to have something to keep you from going crazy. Exactly. So.
Exactly. You know, it's hard when you get into something because everybody's like, oh, you're wasting your money doing this, that, and the other. No, I'm really not. That's
how my mom was when I first started playing Magic. She was like, oh, it'll just be a fad, you know. And then 10, 15 years later, they're still making sets, you know. And I was, you know, but, you know, back then, you know, that's what she was saying. Because I think, like, back then, it was, like, The Dark had just come out. You know, that lets you know how... You know, I started playing.
Well, it's like the parents that say, oh, I'll only buy you one or two of the Star Wars figurines back in, you know, the 70s and 80s. Look at how much money those figurines are worth now.
Yeah, especially if they're still in pack.
Yeah, it makes me wish I hadn't destroyed most of my Star Wars figures when I played with them.
Yeah, I used to have one or two back then as well.
That's just because collectible stuff is stuff that originally wasn't thought to be collectible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... The concept of a collectible kills its collectibility.
It does.
So, I mean...
Yeah, but if people had a chance to, like, travel, you know, to, like, go back and redo their lives most of the time, you'd know that they'd be like, all right, I want 500 of those, I want 500 of these, and then they just get a storage facility and just set them off in there, you know, up until about 2015, and be like, oh, guess what I have?
I still open some of them and play with them, though.
But the fact that you had 500 of them would thus devalue them.
Why is it anytime I try and make a concept, he completely nullifies it.
Well, like I said, you could release them one at a time.
Yeah,
right?
that's what I mean.
That would be a thing.
Going to different states.
But if you released 500 onto the market, but each one you released would thus devalue the rest of them.
Or you can make your own TV show like that guy that goes in people's attics and gets their toys and sells them.
I love that guy, the toy collector or something like that. He's pretty awesome.
I hate that show. Because I watch that show and I'm like, I had that toy, and this is how much it's worth now.
Yeah, I don't watch that show because of that very reason.
Man, sometimes you want to cry because I've seen something he sold for like $1,500. I'm like, I had that and gave it away.
I mean, hell... what's that show on the History Channel? Those two guys,
American Pickers.
I was watching an episode of that one time. Well, actually, two different episodes. One of them, they found a mint condition BSA motorcycle tank that they got for like next to nothing. I was just like, ugh! And then they went into another guy's garage, like from front to back, left to right, almost top to bottom, filled with nothing but still original in box. Brand new Harley Davidson parts from like all the way back from 1936. Mm-hmm. Like basically enough parts to build four brand new bikes, if not more. And I'm just sitting there like, how do you still have all that?
Yep.
I mean, good Lord.
It kind of makes you want to go into that industry.
I mean, really, that is very much staged. I hate to break
I know some of it is staged, but still.
Not that they didn't do, but what they used to do is find junk, make statues out of it, restore it partially, and sell it to a high-end niche market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you also got to think that these are people that would, you know, they basically were selling like into the art market. You know? You're talking if you go down to the store, you know. You know, $1,000 lamps.
Yeah.
I mean.
But still, a garage full of Harley of original Harley Davidson parts. It's just unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, you might find like one box here or there, but an entire garage full of them. It's just like, God, well, that made me cry in my sad place inside just a little bit when I saw that episode. I was like, no.
He went into his dark place.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh my God, I'd have a field day in that garage. You know.
All right, well, it's about time we need to wrap it on up. Any final thoughts?
I'm loving the Star Wars trailer that came out. I'm watching that over and over.
Definitely been hearing some buzz about that.
I saw the Batman versus Superman trailer, and I wasn't that impressed by it, honestly.
After seeing the Star Wars one, it's hard to get impressed with me at the moment. I love seeing Harrison Ford at the end of it.
I saw a mock-up Batman versus Superman movie poster with Adam West and
there's a
Chris
video.
Reeve. There's a video. Hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, and if anybody hasn't seen the video I posted on the Comic City 2 Facebook page, where somebody redid the Golden Girls theme with Batman, Superman, and Aquaman.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I haven't.
I
seen
you
that.
Should check that out.
All right. I'll probably.
I know
have
what
to.
I'm doing when I get home.
Yeah. Tabletop day at the library in Gallatin. I think it's from like 4 or 4:30 to 6, something like that. And you know, I think they're getting like a couple other games in for it. You know, try and pull more people in. And one. Oh, and good night, Elaine. That was for Jules.
Yep.
And then I just wanted to say hi to my friend Megan down in Gallatin. She knows who she is. So
yeah,
I'm sure she knows who she is. I hope she does. Or is she looking for herself?
Hmm?
Is she looking to find herself?
If she doesn't know who she is she in a facility?
Is that where you met her?
No. I did not go to MTMH to meet women, okay? Middle Tennessee Mental Health. That's what MTMH stands for.
I know where it's at.
I thought you were misspelling MTAC.
No.
You're trying to spell math.
There's no A in MTMH.
Yeah, you were trying.
Oh. That's the misspelling.
He was going to give you the A for effort.
Okay.
We are bad.
Next.
Bad. Sorry, we do that a lot at home.
You should hear us when we really get going.
I watched the live stream for the Star Wars Celebration. Carrie Fisher looked really good. She lost a lot of weight. Looked like they've done a lot of work done on her.
She probably has.
So she switched from pot and Twinkies to lipo and diet pills?
I think so. Because she looked really good on there. She really did. I was surprised.
Yeah, I heard that Mark Hamill has like had a problem with the director of the new Star Wars movie because like supposedly he's a Star Trek guy.
J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
No, he's a Star Wars fanatic.
Yeah.
He just made
Star Trek. He just made Star Trek
movies, but he is a Star Wars.
He put R2-D2 in Star Trek. That's how much more he likes.
But
Star
the
Wars.
Thing is, I've actually, Mark was talking about him at the Disney Star Wars celebration, and he spoke very highly of him. So
okay,
I don't know. I don't know if that was
well. That well,
what,
that's what I
yeah.
heard.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
take that with a grain of salt.
And they give out at celebration. They released what Rogue One's going to be about. It's about the people who stole the Death Star plans.
So that'll be fun.
Okay.
That'll be interesting. I'm just still looking forward to Fanboy. And getting our costumes ready and trying to get everything put together for our first comic book convention, so we're excited. And just, I don't really have anything comic book wise other than that I'm looking forward to.
Gem.
So, huh? Gem. Well, the next gem would be nice, you know. Hint, hint, somebody needs to let it out.
Go ahead and let the movie
it's
out.
It's getting outrageous! And okay, anyway, moving on.
Alright, I'm good. Well. Before we go, I'd just like to say hi to Redshirt Steve and Bridge, loyal listeners and former castmates who are moved up to the Great North. I wanted to say the Great White North, but they didn't quite make it to Canada.
No.
But all right, I'll
and
see
hello
you
to Ryan, too. Yep.
Yes, Gomer and his significant other have been having some issues, not like relationship issues, health
issues. Pregnancy
issues. Yeah. But, you know, they're doing better now. We wish them Wish them the best. All right, and I'll see you next week for another fabulous episode of Geeks of the Square Table.
Bye. Bye.